Prophet Isaiah, the first chapter, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strange, is devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with it is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. From before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderous. Thy silvers become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companion of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after reward. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversary, and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oak which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the garden that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as Tyre, and the maker of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. I'd like to refer back to the 15th verse, from about the 14th down, about the 17th. He said, I hate your new moons, I hate your feasts, He said he was tired of the assemblies of people just coming together. I'll hide myself from it. I'll hide mine eyes. He said, I'm weary to bear it. I hate them. It's a trouble unto me, he said. Though you make many prayers, he said, I won't hear you. Your hands are full of blood. He said, wash ye and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. You know, we can say what we want to say, but there's one thing that's for sure and for certain. As I've said so many times, we can talk about faith from now until Jesus comes. And we can talk about going to church and what church we belong to and what church we was brought up in and what denominational branch we sprung out from. And we can talk about all the things that we have done and how religious we are and whether or not we've danced in the Spirit and whether or not we have done this or done that or how many years we've spent in church or how long we've known God. We can talk about all those things, but there's one thing about it. God said, unless you put away the evil of your doings, I will not hear you. I am firmly convinced of God and have been doing my Christian pilgrimage that God is going to judge a man and a woman according to their doings. They can say, I believe, all they want to say, I believe. But God is going to judge that person according to their doings. If they have had the right kind of attitude in life and has not been jealous, not been resentful, not been hateful, not been covetous, not been lustful, not been rebellious, not been temperamental, not been a gossiper, not been a backbiter, not been a troublemaker, not been a talebearer, then God will smile upon them if they've not been any of those things. But if they have been guilty of oppressing anyone, of taking anything from anyone, of mistreating anyone, or of not being fair and square with their fellow man and their dealings through life, God is going to reject them. If they are the kind of person that everything has to be their way, or they just fly up and get upset, whether it's over the family or over children or over substance or over money or whatever it might be, if they are that kind of person, I bear you record in Jesus' name tonight, in the presence of God, that you or that person will go into the burning flames of the fire. You can say, I believe, I'm a Christian, I've been born again, I've spoken tongues, I've done all of these things. But brother and sister, I want you to know one thing, if you don't put away the evil of your doings, God isn't going to receive you. The Bible states very emphatically here that He wants someone that will put away the evil of their doings. He wants someone that will dress holy, someone that will look holy, someone that will talk holy, someone that will live holy, or else He won't receive them at all if He can't have that kind of people. He won't have any kind of people. So then the prophet did not make a mistake. The prophet made it very clear. I am tired, the voice said, the Spirit speaking through the prophet. I am tired, thus saith the Lord. I am tired, I am weary of your assemblies, though you may come together and have church. But I am weary of it. I am sick of it, he said. It makes me sick. I'm weary of it. It's trouble for me to bear it. I am weary of it. I will hide my face. And though you may pray, he said, you may pray. You may pray in the morning. You may pray in the night. You may pray during your assemblies. But I'm not going to hear your prayer if you're going to continue to do your evil. If you're going to continue to commit adultery, continue to gossip and do evil, continue in the way of sin, I won't hear your prayer, he said. I am weary of your prayer. You can count beads and you can do anything you want to, but God isn't going to hear you. Now, I know a lot of people are ignorant and they don't know any better. We
We received a letter from Africa today, and they asked us if we'd please send them a Holy Bible and send them the rosary. They don't know any better. But I'll tell you, you can count all the beads you want to, and you can pray all you want to, and you can do anything you want to. You can belong to the first church if you want to. But brothers and sisters, God is going to judge you according to your doings. If your doings is right, God is going to receive you. If your doings is wrong, God is going to reject you. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I believe that we're saved by grace. I do too. I believe that if I've done the very best that I can do through my whole entire lifetime, and God receives me into the kingdom of God, I believe that that will be grace, because the Bible tells me that all of my efforts is nothing but filthy rags when I finish. And it would take grace to get me into the kingdom of God. But brothers and sisters, don't you ever fool yourself into believing that God is going to receive you and take you into the kingdom of God when you make no effort to live a holy life. He isn't going to do it. It's like I said here the other night, or I made the statement, the Lord Jesus Christ lived a holy, just, upright life for you and I. Not so that we would not have to live that kind of life. That is a mistake, to feel that God did that so that you wouldn't have to live holy. That's wrong. To believe that Christ Jesus lived the perfect life so that you could go to heaven and you wouldn't have to live it. That's wrong. He did not do that. He lived a perfect life so that you, if you faltered in any manner in trying to live a perfect life, that He could still receive you into the kingdom of God. He lived a perfect life so that if there was any flaw in your life, after that you had done your very best to be perfect. The Bible said, be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And after that you've done everything that you can to be perfect, if you falter along the way, then God's, He will make up for it with the virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ. But brother and sister, don't you ever get the idea that the Lord Jesus lived holy so that you don't have to live holy. The Bible said to be holy, for I am holy. Be therefore perfect as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Let us go on unto perfection. And the Bible said, go on to do these things, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, having your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof, everlasting life. If you are not doing that, then you are not going on with God. So then I like what the prophet Isaiah said. If your hands be filled with blood, if you're just going to have church gatherings, if you're just going to be some charismatic order to where you just jump and holler, shout, speak in tongues, all of these kind of things, and make no effort to conform to the ways of Christ, to live a holy life, then you're on your way to hell if you're going to do those things. See, if you're going to do those things, you're on your way to hell. You say, but Brother Pike, look at the millions of people. I know that, but look at the days of Noah. Look at the many people in the days of Noah. Did God regard the number of people, or did He still send them down at the flood? In the days of Moses, when there was thousands of people there, and God opened up the earth and let the earth swallow them up, did God regard the number of the people, or did He still send them down into the pit? Moses said, let these go down into the pit quick. Did He send them down into the pit? And I tell you today, God is just the same. He isn't going to regard the number. There may be millions of people in your church. There may be millions of people that you know about, that is church-wise, but they're all going to hell if they don't live a holy life. Right. All of them are going to hell. It doesn't matter how big the church is or how many denominations that's connected together. It doesn't matter how much money, power they've got, how much prestige they've got in the world. It doesn't make any difference with God. It doesn't matter how long they've been in operation. The thing is whether or not Christ Jesus lives in their heart. And the Bible tells me that if Christ lives in their heart, then their fruits will be unto holiness and the end thereof, everlasting life. Hallelujah. So then the Lord said, away with your solemn assemblies. I am sick to bear them. Away with your feasts. Though ye pray, I am not listening to you. You know, some of the people at Bethlehem, you need to consider the things that I'm saying tonight. You may pray to God. I'm sure that numbers of you pray to God. But there's also numbers of you that though you pray to God, you do not make any effort to really live a holy life, to get rid of gossiping, to get rid of backbiting, to get rid of causing division, to get rid of evil surmising, to get rid of mistreating your fellow man. You don't make any effort to do that. You just say, well, I believe, Brother Pike, God knows that I'm a child of God. I believe and God's going to take me to heaven. I tell you that God isn't going to take you to heaven. You're going to be lost. Your sins is going to cause you to be lost. God's going to judge you according to your doings. What are you doing in life? Are you doing according to godliness? Are you doing according to righteousness? Are you doing according to the Word of God? Are you making any efforts to get rid of your old evil way? Are you making any efforts to get rid of that old spirit of resentment you got? Are you making any effort to get rid of that old sarcastic atmosphere that's about you all the time? Are you making any effort to have peace and joy and righteousness in your heart? Are you making any efforts to treat your fellow man right in the transactions that you have out there as you deal with him? Are you making any efforts to correct the errors of your way? Are you making any efforts to negotiate properly? Are you making any efforts to have brotherly love and brotherly fellowship? Are you? Are you trying to swear to your own hurt? Let people say things about you and do things about you, not rise up in temper and fly apart? Are you making any effort to do that? Are you trying to speak right to your wife, treat you right, treat your wife right, treat your children right? Are you trying to treat your husband right? Are you trying to come together as a brotherhood, as sisters together in the Lord? Are you being respect a person and you just got one person over here that you think more of than you do another person over here, and you want to come together as a little group, get ecclesiastical and shut the rest of them out? What kind of atmosphere do you have about you? What kind of mind do you have in you? What kind of spirit do you have in you? You know, God is a spirit. And the thing that we've got to remember is that God being a spirit, that if our spirit is going to be relative to God's spirit, then it's got to be godly. Is that right? The Bible tells us to add to our experience godliness. Godliness. We're to add brotherly love to our experience. We're to add patience to our experience. We're to add patience to our experience. But the Bible also tells us as we add virtue to our experience, that we are to add godliness to our experience. Now, brother, when you say add godliness to your experience, that covers a lot of territory. Did you know that? When you say add godliness to your experience, that means add the Word to your experience. Whatever the Word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's godliness. Add godliness to your experience. What does the Word say? Does the Word say that we should marry two or three times? No. Does the Word say that every time some little something happens that we're to run off and leave our companion? No. Does the Word say that we should cheat our fellow man? No. Does the Bible tell us that the whoremonger, that the adulterer, that the backbiter, that they shall not stand in the holy hill of God? Yes, it does tell us that. Then how is it that we feel that we're going to heaven and still do these things that are contrary to the Scripture? Or if we fail to do these things that the Scripture tells us to do, how is it that we feel that we're adding godliness to our experience? So then it's easy to see tonight that the prophet did not make a mistake. I am weary of your assemblies. I am weary of you coming together. I am weary of your testimony that you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. I am weary of you talking about your background and what church you belong to and who your mother was and who your grandparents was. And I'm sick of all of these things that you use to try to replace righteousness. All of your ritualistics, all of these things. I'm tired of these things, he said. I am weary to bear them. But he said, if you'll do right, and then you'll come to me, he said, I will take away your sins. Though your sins be so ugly, I'll just make you white as snow, Jesus said. I'll just make you clean and so white and so pure. I'll just make you like the wool of a sheep that's just been cleansed. That's so lovely. I'll make you clean and holy if you will come to me. And if you will acknowledge my word, how shall a young man cleanse his way, David said, by taking knowledge of the word of God. So then it is so wonderful to know that there is a way that we can get into the kingdom of God. Listen, brothers, sisters, you say, Brother Pike, don't you believe that we're saved by the grace of God through faith? I certainly do. I believe that it's by the grace of God through the faith of Jesus Christ that I am saved and that I get into the kingdom of God. I believe that. But I believe in my heart that the only way my faith will work is that I put some works with my faith. You say, where do you get that? The Bible tells me that my faith is dead without works. Is that right? It doesn't say that Christ's faith is dead without works, but it says my faith is dead without works. Now then, when Paul tells us in his writing that we are saved by faith without works, he is not speaking of your faith. When he tells us that we are saved by faith without works, he is not speaking of your faith. But he said that we are to contend for the faith by which we are sanctified, the faith of Jesus Christ, being saved by the grace of God through the faith of Jesus Christ. We are saved by faith of Jesus Christ without any works. His faith doesn't need any works. Because he is the works of God. But brother, when we go to believe to take hold of that faith, when we go to believe to take hold of those benefits, then I must add works with my faith, or my faith will not work. Because my faith is dead without works. And when James speaks of faith, and he's talking about works with faith, he is speaking of human faith. He is not speaking of God's faith that needs no works. He's speaking of human faith. Whereas the Bible tells me that if I do the things that please God, then I assure my heart before God. And I have confidence in God. And that confidence causes me to believe in God. And then this confidence brings up what we term as faith, for confidence is faith in God. And this confidence brings forth that faith, that confident believing in God. I do the things that please God. Jesus said, I do always the things that please the Spirit. I do always the things that please the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, that is in my word. In my word, the Spirit abideth within you. Ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Therefore, I walk in the Spirit. I talk in the Spirit. I live in the Spirit because I'm born of the Spirit. If you've never been born in the Spirit, you can't walk of the Spirit. If you've never been born in the Spirit, how can you walk in the Spirit? But when you're born to the Spirit, then you can walk in the Spirit. Is that right? Yes. If I'm born to the Spirit, then I can walk in the Spirit. If I have the Spirit on the inside of me, which is God's Word, if I walk within the radius of God's Word, within the understanding of God's Word, within the boundaries of God's Word, and if God's Word abides on the inside of me as my power of ingenuity, as the commander of my little ship of my heart, then brothers and sisters, I ask what I will and God will do it for me. He said he would not deny me anything. Ask what you will in my name and I will do it. Somebody would say, but I don't believe that. But the reason you don't believe it is because you don't have any works with your faith. If you had works with your faith, you would believe it because God said it. If God said it, I believe it. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I do believe that. Glory to God, I believe what God said about it. I said the other day, last night I believe it was, when I was making my TV program, I made the statement, I made it here many times, I don't care what my eyes see, I believe what God said about it. Somebody, they can't believe, you know, some folks, they can't believe what God said about it because they always see something. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I hear. I don't care what path of life come before me. If it ain't harmonious with God's word, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I can see what I want to see, hear what I want to hear, but I don't believe it. If it's not with God's word, I don't believe it. It's all a lie and vanity. It's got to pass away. And someday, somewhere, God's word will prevail. Because the Bible said that it would. Heaven and earth will pass away. Everything in it shall pass away. But my word shall never pass away. I believe God's word. So then I made up my mind years ago not to live by sight. The just shall live by faith. And that faith in God's word, convicted in God's word. The just shall live by faith. The wicked live by sight. Man looks on the outward appearance. But the just shall live by faith in God's word. If God's word says it, I don't care what I see. I don't care what I hear. I don't care what you tell me. I believe God's word.
Amen.
I believe God's word. Whatever God's word says, that's what I believe. I'm so glad that I feel like that. That makes me happy. It makes me so happy because I feel like that. I'm so glad. I didn't feel like that for many years. I didn't get to feel like that overnight. It took me a long time to get to feel like that. But I am so glad today I do feel like that. I'm not lying about it. I do feel like that. It doesn't matter to me. God's word is the end of everything. Whatever it says, that settles it. It doesn't go any farther with me. That's what I believe. All right, so the prophet said, I am weary of you. I am tired of you. I am tired of you, God said. Why? Because you pray, you pray, you pray, but you won't live right. You have your meetings, you have your solemn assemblies, but you won't do right. Your doings are wicked, they are evil. You've got blood on your hand. Clean your hands of blood. You know, here in the school, I can't hardly even get along with the parents. I can't hardly get along with the neighbors. Why? Because all of them want to get upset with the teachers, and we have to have a clash over it all the time. Why is that? Because they don't want to live in harmony with God's word. Isn't that right? They don't want to submit to God's word. They don't want to walk upright with God's word. See, the trouble is not with the children here. We get along with the children. Because we can paddle the children, make the children do right. But I tell you, sometimes it'd probably be better if we could paddle the parents. A lot of times they need it a lot worse than the children do. They say, lay the paddle on them kids. But what needs to be done is to lay the paddle on the parents. And get the parents straightened out, and I'll guarantee you the children will be all right. Where do you get scripture for it? The Bible said that the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's where the problem is. So then what we need to do is live right. We need to feel like the prophet did. Get our doings right. We don't want evil doings. I don't want to do evil. You know, you got to have a whole lot of want to on the inside. Did you know that? You're never going to live right if you don't have some want to in there. You've got to want to do right. Some people don't want to do right. It's just not in them to want to do right. You talk to them, they want to go to heaven. Yes, they want to go to heaven. You say, do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yes, I want to go to heaven. But do you want to live for God to get to heaven? No, I don't want to do that. Somebody said, well, I don't mind living for God. You don't mind living for God as long as God is not the Word. But see, the God I'm talking about is the Word. Do you mind living for the Word? See, when you live for God, you live for the Word. What the Word says, that's God. See, and you don't want to live according to the Word, so you don't live for God. So then the prophet said that we must do right. Your doings are evil, he said. Are we going to make any effort, folks, to get away from our evil doings? Are we going to do it? Are you going to have any repentance in your heart to turn away from your evil doings? Are you going to do it? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, I've repented over and over. I've shed Esau tears over and over and over and over. Still going the same way Esau went. Still going the same way Esau went. Sold your birthright. Still shedding Esau tears, saying, I'm sorry. Oh, God, forgive me. I'll never do it no more. Going back the next time, knowing that you're going to do it. When you shed the Esau tears, you know you're going to do it because you don't have a love for the truth. You know what the truth is? God's word. When you have a love for the truth, somebody say, I love Jesus. When we have a love for godliness, brother, when you come to love the right way, you love the truth, you love the things of God, then you'll get right with God. Let me tell you something. I've got to have a love for my fellow man if I want to treat my fellow man right. If I'm going to treat my wife right, I've got to have a love for my wife.
If I'm just married to her, I'll never treat her right if I don't love her. But if I love her, I'll treat her right. And I tell you what, if you've got a love for the truth, you'll obey the truth and you'll follow the truth. And if you don't have a love for the truth, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind, which is that old carnal mind that you was born with through the seed of Adam. And you'll continue to do the evils of your day and of your life and go to hell. You've got to have a love for the truth. You will get to the place to where you'll feel like you can do anything and go on to heaven. You'll do the same things that you've always done. And still believe you're going to heaven, and can't nobody tell you no different. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, when your doings are evil, you are going to hell. You better get rid of your doings that are wrong, because the child is known by his doings. When you do something, when you think something, when you say something, all of that's important with God. What are you thinking? What are you saying? What are you doing? What's your plans? What's your motive? You got to get rid of it. I'm going to say just a few more things and then I'm going to close. But I want you to listen now. If you don't have a love for the truth, you're not going to perform the truth in your life. What is the truth? I preached the other night, the love for the truth is that you will go to hell if you defile your neighbor's wife. You will go to hell. That's the truth. If you lay your hands upon your neighbor's wife, you will go into the flames of the fire. And the Bible said if you look on your neighbor or neighbor's wife or look on a woman, you men, to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her in your heart, you will go to hell. And if the woman looks on you, she'll go to hell if she looks in that manner. If she uses any means of enticement to catch the attention of any man that is not her companion, then she'll go to hell. She'll go to hell. If you don't pay your just and honest debts, you'll go to hell. You've got to have a love for the truth. If you love the truth, you'll cherish the truth and you'll try to do the thing that's right. If you don't have a love for the truth, you won't cherish the truth. You won't try to do the thing that's right. But brother and sister, if you love the truth, you'll try to do the thing that's right. What is the truth? Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" What is truth? The word of God is truth. The word of God is truth. What does the word of God tell me? It tells me, like I said earlier tonight when I made the statement, evil communication corrupt good manners. I've got to stay away from those things. If I love the truth, I will stay away from them, because I'll go to hell. The Bible tells me that when I make a transaction with a man out yonder and I say I'll pay you a debt, I've got to pay that debt. Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, that is necessary." It is necessary. I've tried to pay my debts. I tried to pay, if there was an old debt or anything in my life that I've neglected anyway, if I find out about it, I try to pay it. Because the Bible said, "Oh, no man anything." As a matter of fact, that brings something to mind that just recently happened. You probably won't even believe this. You say, "Well, I don't know whether you believe in that or not." I'll tell you what, this just happened yesterday. My wife can witness to it, and Brother Taylor. A man came by yesterday and spoke of something, of a debt, that he said that as far as he knew, I owed. According to somebody that I can't remember that said I owed it. And I said, "Mister or brother," I said, "I've been praying to God that he will let me know the name or would let me know the place of the person that I believe that you're speaking about." I said, "I don't know the name. I don't remember the name. But I had a transaction many years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I don't know how many years ago. I said, but I lost my job at that time. And I'd made a little transaction. I lost my job." I said, "For withstanding my boss, for playing around with the woman on the job. Another man's wife." I said, "It was my superior got me fired because I withstood him to his face. He's a real temperamental, supposed to be a real bad fella." And I told him to his face how I felt about it and how low down it was. And he backed off when I withstood him. But he went and got me fired. And during that time, there was a little cross up and some little debt that I owed. And I couldn't remember after we had to leave or go, wherever we went. I lost track of it. I couldn't remember the man's name. I couldn't get it. I wanted to remember it so bad, but I couldn't. And I prayed to God and I said, God, let me know about it. And 20, 25 years, I don't know how many years passed by. And finally, yesterday, Yesterday, somebody come by and told me. I said, glory to God. Thank God. I said, I believe. I might be wrong. It might not be. I might not even owe the man you're talking about. I said, buddy, well, what I understand, I said, it kind of fits together that was about the thing and the way that the thing happened. I said, I'll take care of it right away. And I went right down there. I said, Betty, I want some money right away to take care of this. Frank, it's in the mail, isn't it?
It's in the mail.
It's in the mail. It's already been sent. Folks, let me tell you something. If you don't pay your debts, you'll go to hell. You've got to pay your bills. You've got to live holy. You've got to live clean. You've got to live upright before God. When you give a man your word, you've got to stand by your word if you're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you again, I know you make mistakes. I make mistakes. We make blunders. I know we stumble. But you can't just go over here and tell a man, I'm going to do a certain thing. Even if you give a man your word that you're going to be on a job at a certain time, or you're going to make an agreement with him to do a certain thing, you ought to try your best, brethren, to do that. When some of you brethren tell me that you're going to be out here and work on the campground, or you make a commitment to God, you ought to stand by that thing. You say, Brother Pike, is it that bad? Ananias and Sapphira lied and they died from it. Isn't that right? God killed them because of it. Oh, brethren, let me tell you, my heart's enlarged to you tonight. You're going to have to do right. Your doings is going to have to get right. You're going to have to talk right to your fellow man. You can't just blow off steam at the mouth all the time and get upset every time somebody crosses you and say, look at here, fella, you got a devil because you come over here and told me I ought to pay you what I owe you. He ain't got no devil. You got a devil because you won't pay him. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Nobody's got a devil because they come to you and ask you to pay them a bill that you owe them. Nobody's got a devil that does that. You owe it to them. Now, a person can come to you in the wrong way and have a devil. They can have a devil on them, but because a man comes and asks us for his money, he ain't got no devil. Now, I'll tell you something. If you got God, you'll love him. And you'll stand right there and you'll say, my dear brother, forgive me. I've been a culprit. I've been a wretch. You forgive me. I'll do something about it. If you don't give him but 50 cents. And I don't mean to mock him either. When you give him a little money, you give him something, you tell him that you're his brother, and you prove to him that you're his brother. And let me tell you something, fellas. To have a love of the truth, the Bible said you provide for your family. You get out and work. Don't you be lazy and shiftless and careless and always got a line in the street and you can't get out because it's cold and you can't get out because you can't get along with the builder and you can't get out and do this because of this, that, and the other. Always got something going. Don't you dare do that because God will get you. There's a devil on you when you do that. The Bible said if you have a love for the truth, you'll provide for your family. If you will not provide for your family, you have denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. Even an infidel will provide for his family. The Bible said you can't be a believer. As a matter of fact, you're worse than an infidel, let alone that you should call yourself a believer. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God. I done got to preaching already. I love you. I love you. I really love you. From my heart, I love you. But I'll tell you something, folks. It's right. It's the right way. That's the only way. It's the right way. You've got to make a God effort, a sincere effort to be holy and clean and pure and godly and upright. If it costs you your wife, if it costs you your children, if it costs you your life, if it costs you your friends, no matter what it costs you, you got to do right. All right, let's stand together. You know, a lot of people, they get the idea that because the debt's a little bit old, they don't owe it anymore. They say, well, that debt's over 7 years old. I don't care if it's 77 years old, it's still your debt. I don't see what 7 years old's got to do with it. If it's 77 years old, you owe the debt. You made the debt. What's the years got to do with it? When you go before God, it's going to be just as fresh as when you made it. So then, it don't matter if you made it last week, a week before last, a year before last, or 2 years before that. You owe that person that money, and you got to pay it to him. And if you don't pay it to him, God is going to get you. Now, if you don't have it, that's different. Somebody said, well, I don't have it. How can you have it? Because you spent it. You know you haven't got it because you spent the man's money. You won't never have it. You're always spending the man's money. But I don't mean you can say, well, I haven't got it, and God will release you from the debt because you haven't got it because you spent it. Well, God isn't going to release you from no debt like that. If you hadn't spent it, got out here and rolled it up and eat it up and lived it up and done whatever you want to and bought a whole lot of junk with it or whatever you wanted, you know, you'd have had it. Somebody say, I just can't afford to pay my bills. I just can't afford to give that man his money. Why come you can't? Because you got two or three cars, two or three trucks. Got to buy a new living room suit every week, two or three telephones. Somebody say, I love Jesus. New dresses every day for your wife and new frocks every day for you, and got to go to dinner every few days in the week and in the weekend and everything else. No wonder you can't pay them. But I'll tell you one thing. If you love God, you'll pay them. If you have to sell your vehicles to pay them, you'll pay them. I'd rather tonight, before the living God, everything that I personally own, that would be counted my personal possession, whatever that would be, I'd rather sell it, get rid of it, give it away, do anything than to take a dollar from some man. I'd rather do it. I'd rather do it. I'd rather walk. I'd rather give me a buggy or do without. I'd rather walk. So help me God, I mean it. I'd rather walk up and down the streets and have people to mock me than to take a man's money. Because it ain't right. It's wrong to do that, friend. It's wrong to do that. I know we're living in a day when it's hard on the working man. It's hard on him. I know it's hard on him. You say, why do you say that? It's hard on him. They're robbing him. They're charging him interest. God said, you that put out your money to usury, I'll burn your fields and you won't stand in the yield of God. They're doubling up interest 2 and 3 and 4 times and just robbing people and literally taking the heart out of them, so to speak, taking the bread off of their table, robbing them. I know they're doing it. And the little man, he's working for all he's worth and he's trying his best to pay them, and they're running up light bills and just running up things slap out of reasoning, and someday God's going to tear their hides up for it. But I tell you something, little folks, you keep on trying. Keep on trying. Do your best. Keep on trying. And then when you get to the judgment, all that's left undone, when you've done your best, God will forgive you for it, and the blood of Jesus will make up for it. But just as sure as there's one penny that you neglected, when you could have done something about it or could have made an effort, God's going to get you for it. Just as sure. Praise God. Let's lift our hands together. Praise God. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus. God, you said, let everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And we that bear the ark of the Lord, let us be clean, Holy Father. Father, tonight, thou and thou alone art holy, and thou alone art good. And beloved Father, I know that as a man, I'm not good tonight. And I know, Father, as a being, I'm not good tonight, Father. There is but one good, that is God. And Holy Father, I know tonight that it's by your grace and your merit and your glory that I have opportunity for the kingdom of God. But, oh Lord, remember me in your kingdom. I beg of you to remember me in your kingdom, Holy Father. Lord, when you sit upon your throne, remember me. Not that I am anything to remember, but through the blood of your Son, Holy Father, remember me. Forgive me my sins, Father, and help me and strengthen me. Lord, and heal my brethren tonight, and strengthen my brethren tonight, and save my brethren tonight. My sisters, save them, heal them, forgive them, cleanse them tonight. Father, make us a clean, holy, godly, upright people. Oh, dear Father, that when the rapture takes place, Father, we'll be able to go. Catch us up into that wonderful love of God. Holy Father, Holy Father. Holy Father, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of your dear Son tonight, Father, be with us. Help us tonight, Jesus. Help us tonight. Be with us, Father. Speak to us in your lovely name tonight. Oh, God, let the love of God come down tonight. Father, you said make straight paths for ourselves, that the lame would be healed and not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. Father, let it be healed tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Heal and forgive, for thy word is truth, O God. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. The name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Heal, save, and forgive in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, if there be any person troubled with evil spirits tonight, Father, you said commit our works unto the Lord and our thoughts would be established. Father, may my doings be righteous, that my thoughts may be holy. Oh God, let my doings be holy, Father, that my thoughts may be holy tonight. Lord, that I be not troubled with evil thinking, Father, and wretched thoughts. Holy Father, tonight, heal, save, and forgive. Have your way tonight. Hallelujah. Save us tonight, Jesus. Save us tonight, Jesus. Father, we lift up holy hands to God tonight. Save us tonight. Give us a love for the truth, my Father. Give us a love for the truth, my Father. Be with us, oh dear Father, tonight. Be with us, dear Father. Give us a love for the truth. Jesus' most holy, wonderful name tonight. Be with us, precious Father. Be with us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be with us in Jesus' name. Father, may there not be a heart tonight, Lord, that would go away without surrendering unto thee. May there not be a person tonight, Father, that would leave the audience without surrendering unto thee. May there not be an individual, blessed Father, tonight, blessed Holy One, Father, but what they would give their entire soul and life to thee. God, help the people at Little Bethlehem to be some of the greatest people in the world. Oh God, holy, just, pure, upright people that, Father, wherever they're seen and wherever they're heard, Father, wherever they might be, that the people will say, those are holy people. For Lord Jesus, you remember what was said of them in the land of Palestine. And oh dear God, you said in the last days, the trees of the Lord would be few, but they that are left in Zion shall be called holy, Father. Remember our doings tonight. Lord, the child is known by his doings, and the prophet said we must put away our evil. Help us to put away our evil tonight, Father. Oh, great and mighty God of heaven, we love you. Oh, hallelujah. May we feel. May we have the fullness of the blessing of God, the fullness of the Spirit of God. May we have the fullness of his glory and of his blessings. Oh, dear beloved Father, love us with your love tonight. The love as no man can love us with but thee. Holy Father, be with us in Jesus' name tonight. In the sweet, loving name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you feel Jesus tonight? Don't you feel the love of God tonight? Don't you feel the blessings of the Lord tonight? Don't you know Jesus loves you and cares for you tonight? Hallelujah. How sweet, how wonderful. God loves you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, God's magnifying the people of Little Bethlehem. I noticed today there was somebody that come out on the grounds today taking pictures. All over the grounds. Said he was an architect. Wanted to take pictures. When they finally pressed him, they found out that he had misrepresented it just to get in here and take pictures. He'd slipped in. He was really a producer that had come here, films and video and whatever, a producer, might of Atlanta, wanting to get pictures. God magnifies the people of Little Bethlehem, always magnifying the people of Little Bethlehem. All around the nation, everywhere, people are concerned about you in Little Bethlehem. But oh, let's love Jesus. Let's be a light. God is turning people's eyes toward you. Let's don't cast a shadow tonight. The Bible said, let your light so shine that other men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And like Paul the apostle said, let us live such a life that our light, our faith will be spoken of throughout the world. Oh, let's do something for God. If you haven't got a vision for God, let's get a vision for God. Wouldn't you like to be used of God tonight? Oh, listen. Did you know that even the movie stars are getting shook up? The movie stars are getting shook up all out through Hollywood. They know Jesus is coming. And they're wanting to do something for God. I heard the other day how that people like Pat Boone's wife, Dale Evans, and some of the others they named out on the streets begging offerings for people to help people carry the gospel out in little booths along the streets, knowing that Jesus is coming, losing their desire for fame and popularity, ready to get out there and beg and plead just to get an offering to do something for God. Oh, folks, you're privileged people tonight. Did you know that? You're privileged people tonight. Those poor people don't even hardly know what it's all about. But here we know about God. We know about God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, but Brother Pike, we belong to a holy church. So does Dale Evans and Roy Rogers. They belong to the Assemblies of God. What does that mean? Brother, the prophet said, put away your evil doings. I don't care what church you belong to. That ain't going to get you in. That won't do it. That won't do it. Pat Boone believes in holiness. That is to the extent of being charismatic. Left the Church of Christ to go into it. But I won't do it. But glory to God, what we're preaching will do it. You say, what are you preaching? Put away your evil doings. Put away your evil doings. That'll do it. Hallelujah. That'll do it. Glory to God. That'll take you on across the river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, what is that, Brother Pike? That is works with your faith that will make you heir to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I feel God. Don't you feel God? I feel the wonderful love of God tonight. I really believe in my heart that there's some people here that are holy. I believe there's some people here that love Jesus. I do. I believe there's some folks here that love God. I believe we just love Jesus, you know, just let him have his way. Let's lift our hands and love him, can we? Hallelujah. Father, let us love you tonight. Let us love you tonight. God, every night when we come together, let us love you, Jesus. God, we come to you to love you, to make love to you, Jesus. Father, to tell you we love you and appreciate you for telling us the truth. Father, to that you didn't turn us over to reprobate mind. Father, that you let us know the truth, Father. Oh, dear God, we know, Lord, that the judgments are coming. But, Father, you've let us know the truth. Hallelujah. We ask thee for thy blessings tonight. Be with us, Jesus. Oh, great and mighty God of heaven tonight. May thy spirit be with us, Jesus. May thy power come down upon us. May the glory of God sweep over us tonight. God, that we can feel that wonderful atmosphere of righteousness. Hallelujah. Let us feel the glory of God. Let us feel the blessings of God. Heavenly Father, move by your greatness tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name tonight. Glory to your wonderful name, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I just long sometimes that Brother Bill and some of them would get some of these mics hooked up out in the audience and over at the instruments, that when they're playing and we're all singing and praising God together, that it could just go down on record to where some of the people out in the by the airways could just hear the people loving Jesus. I'm talking about when you're sincerely loving Jesus, not just making a fuss, not just making a noise. They've heard all of that, but I mean a real genuine praise and love of God. I wish that it could be. You know, when you get it on the tape, you don't get that out there. You don't get the beautiful music. You just get what I'm saying. But oh, it'd be so wonderful if they could just get you loving Jesus and praising God. It would be so magnificent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.